Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. On today's show, I'm thrilled to welcome Dina Ladd. Dina is the Executive Director of Missouri Cures, a nonprofit whose mission is to promote and protect medical research in the state of Missouri. Dina, I'm so excited to have you with us today. You and I got to know each other really just very recently because of the WISE event that you run. But you are just a phenomenal woman, and I'm just so excited for our listening audience to hear more about your story.
Well, Lisa, thank you for having me. And yes, thank you. You are a part of our Women in Science and Entrepreneurship Conference last November that sold out. And so I'm still hearing about that dynamite blonde who talked about how she started her business and so forth. So thank you for being a part of it.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. We probably have more to talk about than we have time for. So I want to go on and jump in. I'm just very interested a little bit in your story about how you grew up, and then we'll segue into some other things.
I grew up in Springfield, Missouri, and my father was an entrepreneur, a real estate developer, and was also a pilot. So I have a love for flying, and was very fortunate. He would put us in his plane, and we'd take off and go see the country or go on some pretty amazing trips. And I attended Drury University down in Springfield. So kind of grew up in a small town, which was really nice. And then I moved to the big city after college and came to St. Louis.
Yeah. So it was funny because I heard the story from you that you were, 22 before you ever flew commercially? And you're like, what are these other people doing on the plane? What's going on with this? Because since you were like 4, you said your dad would just put you guys in a plane and fly all around. And
we did, and we were on a trip, and I believe I was maybe a little younger, 19, and something had happened to the plane, one of the landing gear, and so we had to take a commercial flight home, and I was like, wow, a lot of people on this plane.
A little different. Very interesting. Well, I bet you a lot of our listening audience doesn't know this, but you were you started out as a fashionista after college, right? Tell us a little bit about that. Who did you work for?
I did. So my undergrad is communication and business, and I always knew I wanted to be in the retail industry. So I jumped right in and worked for a small boutique, and I did all their buying, and then I eventually headed my own retail place in Springfield for a while. And then after moving to St. Louis, I eventually went to work for Christian Dior, then moved to Chicago. And it was like the exciting, glamorous job that I always wanted.
Right.
But as we all know, those glamorous jobs are a lot of hard work. So I traveled every week throughout the country and to New York and to Paris. But it was a wonderful opportunity. And it's interesting. My kids go, really, Mom, you did that? Because they only know me with my current work in public policy and working in politics. And of course, running Missouri Cures. So,
but you've got the pictures to prove that yes, I really did do this.
Yes. But it taught me a lot, and it was a great opportunity.
Great way to see the world too. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so what moved you really from fashion then to action? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I've always volunteered, whether it was sitting on a nonprofit board or just showing up and volunteering, you know, hands-on type of volunteering. And so when I moved back to St. Louis, I decided to pursue my graduate degree. So I went to SIUE and got my MPA, Master's in Public Administration, Public Policy. And I knew from then on out it was going to be totally different world and career change, but I just really loved it and had a lot of great opportunities, whether it's with nonprofits or, as I said, being involved with public policy, going to D.C., going to Jefferson City. So it was the right move for me.
Well, and I think you said you wanted to do something that made a difference, right? And
definitely.
You saw that as a way to make a difference. And there was a time when you actually ran for office, right? And you were encouraged to run for office. And was that a little scary?
You know, I was just being an advocate. I was really involved with St. Louis Children's Hospital and Epworth Family and Children's Center, sitting on all these boards. I was appointed twice by Governor Blunt and then Governor Nixon for the Children's Trust Fund Board. So, you know, I was just being the do-gooder and loving what I did. And I was approached by two female former legislators, Senator Betty Sims, the late Betty Sims, who's greatly missed, and Emmy McCollum. And they said, you know, we need more women in politics, which I totally agreed. And they said, so you're going to run. I said, what? It's not on my bucket list.
Wait a minute. It wasn't on my radar.
But, you know, I was spending so much time in Jefferson City on various issues. I knew a lot of the legislators. I knew how the process worked. So I jumped in into a primary with two men. I had 4 months, you know, and let me just warn everyone, you can't run in 4 months. But there were issues I cared about, and one was medical research, and so I lost the primary, but it was certainly a good experience. But I am a little caught off when people say to me now, did you run for office back in 2004? And I said, yes. But I encourage women to get involved, whether it's on the school board level, city council, whatever. Your voice really matters.
It matters, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I always say you just can't stand on the sidelines and say, I don't like this or I don't like that. You need to roll up your sleeves and get involved.
Absolutely. And getting involved with public policy is easier than people realize. It's just an issue you care about. It's getting involved with an organization. I do encourage people to go to Jefferson City and talk to their lawmakers because they are the ones who are going to influence public policy. I go to D.C. if you have the opportunity. And it's also, you know, every time I go to D.C. and I go about 2 or 3 times a year, I am in awe. It's really quite an amazing place, being on Capitol Hill and so forth.
Right. So do you have any recommendations for a young woman that may be sitting here in our listening audience saying, yeah, you know, I think I really would love to get involved? I mean, do you have any tips or advice?
Well, there used to be training programs for women to get involved in politics. There was the Souchier Institute at UMSL, which I don't know if it still exists. I believe it does. And then I also tell people to kind of find a mentor, or if they're interested in the school board, you know, start showing up at the meetings, get to know some of the members, and then find out how you can maybe run for office for your local school board or your local city council, or if you're in the city, go to the ward meetings and so forth. But I think that's the best way, and then you really get to know people who are involved.
Well, that's a really good segue, because I know that you are very passionate about healthcare and medicine and medical research. So that really kind of took you to a new place, and kind of what you're doing today. You're the executive director for Missouri Cures. So tell us a little bit more about Missouri Cures, because some of our audience may not know about Missouri Cures.
So we actually started as a campaign in 2005. We ran the 2006 Stem Cell Cures and Research Amendment. And what that did, it passed. So all medical research that's legal on the federal level is legal in Missouri. And that's extremely important because we have such amazing research institutions here. We want the best. We want the brightest researchers. And we don't want to put limits on them. So it allows all medical research to take place in our state. It also gives patients access to cures and therapies. So it was a really important amendment. And then we shut down the campaign. They became a 501c4. And then in 2010, I was asked to come back and kind of figure it out, like what direction we're going. And so I became the executive director. So we still have our 501c4, which is our advocacy arm. And then in 2011, I started our nonprofit arm, which is the Missouri Cures Education Foundation. And then we also have a large state PAC, which supports legislators who support medical research.
Right. And I know that we've talked a little bit. One of the things you guys do is you pull together people for symposiums in medical research. Can you talk a little bit about that? And if there's listeners that want to get involved in that, how would they do that?
We'd love for you to get involved. So if you go to Missouri Cures, CURES.org, it takes you to our website. You can sign up to receive our monthly newsletter. You'll get invitations to our symposiums. And so we do research symposiums, which really highlight the work of researchers around the state. We've done clinical trial symposiums, cancer research symposiums. Last year we did a gene editing symposium, which sold out. And then we also do our Women in Science and Entrepreneurship Conference in St. Louis, and we do the WISE events all around the state.
Right. You do several of those, right?
Yeah.
And five or six of the different metros around the state?
Columbia, Kansas City, St. Joe, and we're doing one in Springfield this year. So it's just a way to bring women together that are really in the STEM and business field, and women can network, meet other women in the field, and it's been really successful.
And get great knowledge and new tips and things like that. That's great. So talk to us a little bit then. I mean, so Missouri Cures, and you guys are looking at all different, you're looking at Alzheimer's, I think even ALS, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really covers the whole gamut, doesn't it? Autism, I think,
yes,
is one of the things that Missouri Cures is involved in. So pretty much any type of disease, right?
We do. And so I work extremely closely with Washington University, University of Missouri, St. Louis University, UMKC, the Stowers Institute for Medical Research in Kansas City. I mean, I'm really fortunate. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I think, wow, I met some cool researcher.
Amazing.
Or
people,
an amazing patient advocate. You know, we have patient advocates who care about the research because they have a family member who's affected by ALS or Parkinson's. So I'm on the media list of most of the research institutions, and we send that out through our social media. We send out 3 to 4 stories a week. And it's on all types of different various diseases, what's going on. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, Missouri Cures, or you want to go to our Facebook page, and as I said, or sign up for our newsletter, man, you'll be on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know all the research going on.
You do a lot of reading, don't you, Dina?
I do.
A lot of reading. Well, can you give us an example of one story? I mean, can you think of a story that you can say even that came out this week or last week that you can talk about?
I can give you two.
No, okay.
There's a lot
great
of great stuff.
Great.
And I try to be balanced because they're all the institutions are amazing. But for instance, a lot of people don't realize the University of Missouri, their cancer center is affiliated with MD Anderson. So they're doing some great work there. And they're also focused on, you know, personalized medicine, which is a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are diagnosed now with cancer, it's not just the standard, okay, you're going to get radiation, you're going to get chemotherapy. They really look at your case and they determine what's going to work best for you. whether it's, you know, immunotherapy, or sometimes they look into your DNA, where's your mutation coming from? So it's a real personalized effort. Washington U is placing a lot of emphasis on personalized medicine too.
Yes.
And then also at Washington University, what they do in the field of Alzheimer's is just amazing. They're doing an international trial. They recently came out with, they think they can do maybe a blood test to determine early onset of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. So it's really amazing. And then St. Louis University, they really have made great strides in the vaccine area. So they do a lot there. They also have their liver center. So they do a lot of research in that area, livers and treatments and so forth. So, we're really fortunate in Missouri. People don't realize we've got some great research going on.
That's encouraging. You know, they should offer hope, right?
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Dina Ladd.
Hey, everybody, this is Brian Muncy, and I'm the executive producer of the Something Extra podcast. Now, I know you're listening to this show and thinking, wow, this podcast thing seems to be taking off. How do I get started with my own podcast? If you aren't thinking that, you should be. Podcasts are one of the most disruptive new ways to reach your audience, and businesses of all sizes are taking note. If you want to get ahead of the curve or just want to explore some ways podcasting can meet your business goals, reach out to me and email podcast@technologypartners.net. I'd love to help.
So, Dina, I want to go back to the WISE conference, the Women in Science and Entrepreneurship. Over the years, you've had some really amazing women that have come and spoken, and I would love for you just to maybe pull out a few of those stories and tell our listening audience what some of these amazing women are doing.
So, yes, there are so many amazing women around the state. I mean, when we do our event in Springfield, it's like, wow, you know, or St. Joe. I mean, there's great women everywhere. So, a couple to just talk about would be Sarah Hill out of Columbia. She's a former news reporter or anchor. I believe she was the anchor. And she has created a Story Up, and it is a virtual reality device to where she really created it for veterans who could not travel to D.C. to see the memorials. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so now they use it for other types of production mm-hmm. pieces and so forth. And the funny little twist there is I got to know Sarah. I found out that her mother was one of my longtime volunteers from Hannibal, Missouri. And her mother, Beth Kinney,
Small world.
A nurse. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my. So, you know, it's always, you're meant to...
But you're not that old.
Meet people. You're meant to meet people, you know, along the way. But, yes, so Beth, her mom, was very instrumental in our campaign in 2006. And then I got to know Sarah. So Sarah's amazing. And then also Dr. Jennifer Silva from Washington University. She's a pediatric cardiologist, if that's not impressive enough. Mm-hmm. Centier is her company. She's created another device to where it creates a hologram of her patient's heart. So she can, it really guides her when she does
more
surgery.
More precision.
And she's amazing. She's just fantastic. And when you look around, especially St. Louis, and you see so many women who have leadership roles in the research field. Dr. Jenny Lodge is the Vice Chancellor of Research at the School of Medicine at Washington University. Dean Elizabeth Laboa, she's Dean of Engineering at Mizzou. Dean Michelle Sabick is Dean of Engineering, Aviation, and Technology at SLU. And then Toni Kuchin, she's the Vice President of Research at the Danforth Plant Science Center. So we have some real strong women in leadership roles.
Absolutely. And we're always talking about encouraging young women to get more into STEM. So it's neat to have these women that have, you know, really not necessarily reached the summit or the pinnacle, because I always say there's always a next level, but they're doing amazing things as it relates to STEM. So I do want to talk about the Danforth Center. And I had told you that years ago, it's been years ago, but I just remember going and doing, having a tour there, and you know, they were developing this route, and I couldn't remember what it was called, but you just had said to me earlier, it's called this, and mm-hmm. I was so impressed by that, Talk a little bit about that and what they're doing with the root in Africa.
So I always feel like I'm like the stepsister of the Danforths that are, well, Dr. Danforth, William Danforth, was a founder of Missouri Cures along with the late Jim Stowers. And then Dr. Danforth, of course, started the Danforth Plant Science Center. So he's an amazing man. I feel very fortunate that I work with him. But the Danforth Center, again, they do a lot of conversations that are open to the public. And we were really lucky that last fall, we partnered with them on our gene editing symposium. So we did a segment on agriculture, we did a segment on human health, medical research, and then we did a panel on economic development and how it's going to, what are the possibilities in our state with gene therapy and gene editing. And we sold out. It was free at the Danforth Center. So it's just, you know, they're just a wonderful partner, and they do such amazing work. And they are the largest plant science center in the world.
Is that right? I did not realize that. What a treasure.
Yeah.
They're a treasure. So I would encourage our listening audience, anyone who has not taken a tour of the Danforth Plant and Science Center, go. And we'll give you Dina's information, and she can set you up with a tour.
I happen to know the PR director there.
You happen
She's
to
a very
know the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is just an amazing place and doing great work. So, Dina, talking about the Danforth Plant and Science Center, what an amazing family. Just an amazing family.
Incredible.
I remember years ago reading a book, it's just, I don't know, maybe 100 pages. It's probably over 100 years old now, by William Danforth that started Ralston. And it was called I Dare You. And I still, to this day, when I'm speaking, I refer to that book often. But, you know, talk to us a little bit, because you've spent a lot of time with a lot of the Danforths.
Sometime.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what even you think is something extra. Tell our listening audience a little bit more about the legacy of the Danforth family.
Well, I've been very fortunate. I always say to myself, oh, you know, I grew up in Springfield, Missouri. And how did I become so lucky to really have an opportunity to work with Dr. Danforth and then also Senator Danforth? At one time, I worked with him, helping him run a pack, and he is an amazing man. And then Dr. Danforth is just, you know, it's always about you. Like when I see him, he's like, oh, Dina, you're doing a great job. Or he really makes you stop and think about the work you're doing and how you're giving back to the community and how, like with Missouri Cures, we're moving cures and therapies forward. Hopefully, we're helping patients and families and really raising the awareness of the importance of medical research. And he's done so much, you know, the Danforths have done so much for our community.
Yes.
Really, with the Danforth Plant Science Center and Missouri Cures. And he was really involved with the St. Louis Public Schools at one time. He's just such a, and then, of course, very involved with the life science community, BioSTL and BioGenerator, and just really building that environment and that sector, which I feel as it intersects with medical research, because I work a lot with the life science industry and BioSTL and so forth. And it's really a very strong economic development piece of our state, creating jobs and bringing companies here and so forth. So he's had his hand in a lot of different areas, and the community certainly benefits from it.
Right. So as I'm hearing you speak, it's all about making the world a better place.
It truly is.
Our community first, and then...
It truly is. And I'm fortunate I go to Kansas City about every other month. And again, like Jim Stowers, who started the Stowers Institute, is amazing, and they have the Kauffman Foundation. And so I see what goes on in Kansas City, which is really great stuff, and great entrepreneurs, and the life science, they call that the animal corridor with health, animal research. And then I see what's going on in St. Louis. In Springfield, we have Jordan Valley Innovation Center. There's some great innovation going on there. And of course, Columbia with the university. Great work there with the researchers and the medical school. So, you know, it's just, Missouri's got a lot going on.
Right. I could not agree with you more. And it makes me proud to be a Missourian.
Yeah, me too. It is. And I love it too when I, you know, go to St. Joe and I'm like, wow, they got an innovation center up here. This is amazing.
I think there's 9 of them, because I was fortunate to be on the Governor's Innovation Task Force. So
yes.
I got to travel the state and I was in awe of everything we've got going on. And that is why any opportunity that we have to tell the story that cool stuff is going on here, and with like the Danforth Center, the mission to feed the world. I mean, this is really cool stuff right here in the heartland.
Right. And also going back to, that's why, you know, we passed Amendment 2 to really make sure that we have strong medical research taking place in our state, and that researchers want to come here, mm-hmm. companies want to come here and invest here. And so I feel, you know, we're challenged every year with things that pop up sometimes in Jefferson City, but that's why we exist. That is really the purpose of Missouri Cures. We exist to protect medical research. So we watch legislation, we follow legislation there, we follow the ballot initiatives, we make sure that there are no anti-medical research amendments put onto those pieces, which could really hurt the research taking place in the state. So even though we do great symposiums and we do the women's event, we exist to protect medical research. That's really why Missouri Cures is here.
Very good. Well, let's segue into something extra. So this is something extra, and I would really love for you to talk about, Dina, and you've seen a lot of leaders in your life. You are a leader. What is the something extra that you believe every leader needs?
You know, I thought hard about this, and I thought I think it's networking skills and communication skills. It really is.
Relationship building.
You know, people ask me, I didn't grow up in St. Louis. I've lived here for 20-some years. But, you know, how do you know all these people? And you're very connected. And it's just really networking, jumping on those opportunities to go to an event, even if you have to go by yourself, mm-hmm. to walk in and meet at least 3 new people.
And they're all interesting.
All fascinating. I always say that I meet so many interesting people in what I do, whether it's in my volunteer work, whether it's in my job. So I really think, you know, you have to be willing to learn about people and listen to what they have to say, but then also maintain those relationships, which can be a challenge. I mean, you don't want to just reach out to someone every time you need something.
That's right.
It's just checking in, how are they or how are their kids? And I also get introduced a lot through email, those email introductions. And I always say yes. I might not meet with people as much as I used to, but I'm certainly available for a 30-minute phone call.
Absolutely.
Because you never know again who they know or who you can connect them to. And that was part of WISE, is connecting women, mm-hmm. networking, and encouraging the young women who come to gather 5 business
cards. They can find
cards.
A mentor there.
Yes, exactly. And so I think that something extra really is relationship building, mm-hmm. like you said.
I think it's huge. And I'm a really high growth person. I love to grow. Love to learn new things. And I've always said that is one of the ways that I personally have grown, is just by the people, because every person you talk to, you're going to learn something, and hopefully you're giving them some value too. I mean, that's the other piece of it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll learn something from you. So that's a great something extra. Well, Dina, it has been such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for making the time, because I know you're a busy woman.
Lisa, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be with you.
So if someone does want to learn more, though, they would go to
MissouriCures.org, and also follow us on Twitter at Missouri Cures, or go to our Facebook page. And again, you can sign up to get our monthly newsletter and receive our invitations to our symposium.
Very good. And I would highly encourage people to do that. Thank you.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2018. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit lisagailnichols.com/somethingextra. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen.